Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Appreciate your company. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Neil Stavem. This is Connecting Faith. Ted Ross at the controls. Chris is at the phones. And when I was growing up, the church I grew up in, we often sang this song, or the choir would sing this song at the beginning of the service. Speak, Lord, in the stillness, while I wait on Thee. Hushed my heart to listen in expectancy. And we're going to learn today more about hearing and recognizing and responding to the Lord's voice. It's going to be a great conversation. Can't wait to jump into it. Ted, you had a great conversation yesterday. Joe, thanks to Joe for filling in for me.
Yeah, it was great to have her here and great to have a studio full of the residents of Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge. That show's posted at myfaithradio.com. You can listen to it there on our page. But it struck me, Neil, how we're hearing the testimonies of these people, and we do it periodically here at Connecting Faith. And it struck me how one of the gentlemen shared that about a little more than a year ago, he was at the bottom. I mean, he was at the bottom. He was near death, actually. He attempted suicide. And God rescued him from that and brought him here now and turned his life around 180. And it occurred to me that, well, there's somebody probably right now that's at the bottom, you know, and we can be praying for them. And God is speaking through the interviews that we do here, certainly, but the teaching and everything else. So it's a blessing to partner with him in ministry here and be praying for people that are at the bottom. Maybe you yourself right now are listening and are at the bottom. Well, we have some hope for you.
I want to just encourage you to thank you for listening to Faith Radio and know that, we have a prayer opportunity. You can be part of our prayer team, and you can leave prayer requests on our faith lines as well, and check out the website myfaithradio.com for more on that. So we appreciate opportunity to talk about lives changed and transformed, and it starts when we understand and obey God's voice. But how do we know? You know, lots of Christians are hungry to hear God's voice. The trouble is many don't know how. And so we're going to find out today as we welcome to our broadcast Frank Viola. Frank has helped thousands of people around the world to deepen their relationship with Christ and enter into a more vibrant and authentic experience of church. His mission is to help serious followers of Jesus know their Lord more deeply so they can experience real transformation and make a lasting impact. And he's written a number of books. And, you know, if you ever want to just have some great conversation about church, what that should look like, and just understanding who Jesus is, God's favorite place on earth, from eternity to here. A couple of the books he's written, Jesus Manifesto with Leonard Sweet, one of them not too long ago. And they've just recently released a new book, Leonard Sweet and Frank Viola, called Jesus Speaks, Learning to Recognize and Respond to the Lord's Voice. And with that, let me welcome Frank back to Connecting Faith. Good to have you on today, Frank. Maybe by way of introductions, say a bit about why this book. The last couple I know that you and Leonard have written together have been looking a lot at kind of Jesus throughout scriptures, throughout the Old Testament particularly, but say more about why Jesus speaks.
We wrote this third book because we wanted to address what we felt was a real need in the body of Christ. And I can break that up into three specific reasons. One, we noticed that there is a book out there produced by the same publisher we have, Thomas Nelson, called Jesus Calling. And Jesus Calling has sold millions of copies. And what it is, the author writes what Jesus is saying for today. It's broken up as a devotional. And we asked the question, why are so many people buying this book? And the answer to that question is because people want to hear Jesus themselves. So they read Jesus Calling, and really it's another author saying what she felt Jesus is saying for the day. So we thought, well, why don't we write a book that explains how people can have their own Jesus Calling experience? And so that's what we do in this book. We explain that. How can you hear Jesus yourself? The other reason is something you had mentioned earlier in our conversation. So many Christians, they will hear their pastor or their preacher say, oh, the Lord said to me and the Lord spoke to me and so on. And they feel, how come God doesn't speak to me so clearly? What's wrong with me? I can't say Jesus said so and so. So where's the disconnect here? Is there something wrong with me? And then the third reason is there are people on the opposite end of the spectrum who are very confident that God speaks to them. In fact, God speaks to them all the time, according to them. And yet what they say God is saying is very often in contradiction to the Bible. So we wanted to write a book that really met the need. How can we hear Jesus Christ speak to us today? First of all, does he still speak? And if he does, how can we recognize his voice? And how can we recognize it accurately and not miss him or confuse him with our own thoughts?
Well, Frank, let's start with that, because, as you say, there is a kind of a whole category sometimes of, you know, of folks that go down the continuum quite a ways to say, you know, they've heard from God, God speaking about any number of things, and it's easy to be skeptical, probably wise to be skeptical in some cases, but are there some ways that we can develop discernment in this matter?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it starts with us. If we think God is speaking to us, we need to have some handles, practical handles, on how to discern whether or not it's the Lord or not. And that's what we do in this book. We give very practical handles and tools so believers can recognize it. And this is really a vast universe. I mean, we could talk about it for hours and hours. The book's about 200 pages, but I'll give you a few little sound bites here so your readers can, your listeners can kind of grasp, you know, what we talk about. One of the things, and I think everybody who's listening will know this, and that is that Jesus Christ today is the same as he was yesterday and forever. So if the Lord says something to one of his children today, one of his servants today, it's not going to contradict what he said in the past. So clearly, Scripture is going to confirm what he has said in some way. It's not going to contradict. He doesn't contradict himself. But if you go deeper than that, you have to ask more questions, because oftentimes the Lord may speak to somebody and, you know, there's nothing in the Bible one way or another, okay? So one of the things we establish is that when the Lord speaks to us directly, it will have two marks to it. One is self-denial, and the other is giving toward others. And so if it has those two marks, the denial of self and the giving to others, it's probably the Lord, because that's his very nature. Love is benefiting others at the expense of ourselves. And we actually give a story in the New Testament that confirms this thing that we're talking about when we talk about self-denial and giving to others. And usually the Lord's voice always has those two marks. In other words, it's never selfish. It's always selfless.
Good little primer to start out our conversation. Frank, I wonder if we can back up a little bit, because the previous two books that you and Leonard have written together have been really focusing on Jesus as Lord throughout the entire Scriptures. And thinking, well, if all Scripture points to and unveils Jesus as Lord, should we be able to see the evidence more clearly, more naturally? I mean, I think sometimes feel like we're on the road to Emmaus, and you know, we're cloudy about Jesus revealing himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, the thing about the road to Emmaus, as well as all the other appearances of Jesus in his resurrected state, and we bring this out in the book, is that one characteristic marked every time the resurrected Christ appeared to his disciples, and that was, it always took them by surprise. They never recognized it was the Lord until later. You remember in the road to Emmaus, the two disciples there thought he was just some man talking to them, on the road there, and then they invited him over for dinner. And it was only when he broke the bread that their eyes were opened and they recognized it was Jesus. And that's significant, because in the book we point out that when Jesus broke the bread, they saw the wounds in his hands. And that's when their eyes were opened and they recognized it was him. And when you look at the wounds of Jesus, you're seeing two things there. You're seeing self-denial. He laid his life down. And you're seeing the giving of himself to others. Those are the two marks, self-denial and giving to others. And so we use stories like this in the book to kind of bring out these principles that we can apply to ourselves. In fact, one of the things we do in the beginning of the book is we trace everywhere that the resurrected Christ appeared to his disciples, and then we make a practical application. But as I say, the disciples in every case didn't recognize him at first. And so often the Lord is speaking to us, and we don't recognize it's Jesus. And so we talk about how to get over that hurdle in the book.
We'll dig in more as we go along. I am curious, before we take a break, just to say more about that, because doesn't that sort of contrast with Jesus said, you know, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, they follow me. So are we not understanding that correctly, that we shouldn't be surprised?
Well, actually, we hear his voice, but then he also says, he that has an ear, let him hear. In other words, you can hear my voice right now, but if you're not tuned into my channel, right, if you're not tuned into the station, you're not going to hear it clearly. And so, yes, Jesus is always speaking to his sheep. You know, it's not just a one-time thing. Well, I heard the Lord 15 years ago, and he said this to me. No, the Lord is always speaking because he indwells the believer. He indwells his sheep. But our ears need to be tuned to him, you see? And if we're not tuned to him, then we won't recognize him. And if we don't realize that he does often come to us in ways that we won't expect, we won't recognize him either. So those are the two parts of it. He speaks, we hear him, but we also have to have ears to hear. And that's what we try to do in the book, is sharpen the ears of God's people to recognize the voice of their Lord.
It's what we want to see accomplished today during our time together, to sharpen our ears so that we can recognize and respond to the Lord's voice. That's the subtitle of a new book from Leonard Sweet and Frank Viola called Jesus Speaks. Frank's my guest today. Frank's an author of a number of works, and his mission is to help people and help serious followers of Jesus know their Lord more deeply so they can experience real transformation, make a lasting impact. Certainly fits with what we're passionate about here at Faith Radio as well. We got a couple of copies of Frank's book to give away, Jesus Speaks. We'll do the drawing here at the top of the hour. 877-933-2484 is the phone number to sign up for a copy of that. We'll do that drawing here at the top of the hour. 877-93-FAITH. You may have a question, too, about this whole area. How do we understand Jesus' voice and learn to recognize and respond to him? More on that coming up. We'll talk about how we tune our minds to that. We'll talk wisdom. We'll get to visions and dreams, emotions, impressions, all those things. Stay tuned for more. The good news of that, Jesus speaks. He wants us to connect with him, to understand, have a relationship with him. We're learning how that can happen here today. Jesus Speaks, the title of the book, Learning to Recognize and Respond to the Lord's Voice, co-written by Leonard Sweet and Frank Viola. Frank's my guest today. He's author and teacher. In fact, his blog, frankviola.org, one of the most popular in the Christian circles today. Frank, just curious if, you know, we talk about God speaking to us. This the book title is Jesus Speaks. Is that just sort of a minor point of distinction when we say we're hearing Jesus' voice as opposed to hearing God's voice?
It's a good question. It really is. One of the things that we make a big deal about in our book, Jesus Manifesto, which was the first book we wrote together, is that so many people talk about God today is in an abstract way. And yet we know God in Jesus Christ. Jesus came to reveal God, who God is, and Jesus came to embody God. And so just as the Father was the life that Jesus Christ lived by, now Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is the life that we live by. Consequently, when the Lord speaks to us, it is Jesus Christ. But it's also God, because he is God in flesh. And, so I think we're trying to be more theologically correct when we say that. And I think that a lot of people, you know, Christians today, I notice they talk about God, but they very rarely talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
And you cannot separate the two. We know God through Christ. We know God in Christ.
Was there a time in church history when, you know, hearing the voice of God, hearing Jesus' voice was more natural or easy to identify? I mean, and have things changed today?
I'm not sure throughout the history of the church, it was any easier or more difficult. There's ups and downs in church history, and there are black spots where it seems like, you know, the Lord didn't seem to be speaking to anybody. But you know, I think today one of the challenges we have is all the distractions. I mean, we have more distractions today with, you know, the internet and media of all kind. Just look around any restaurant and watch people eat, and you will see a large percentage of the individuals on their phones. We are constantly being pinged. We are constantly being distracted. And in order to hear the Lord's voice, there has to be some attentiveness given to him, you know. And so I think that's probably one of the major obstacles that we have today that would be more difficult than, say, in days past.
Now, the first half of the book does a good, theology basis for God speaking to us. And the second half that you focus on is very practical. And we're going to get into some of those practical areas about how do we actually, you know, hear God's voice speak to us. But I'm curious to know, you kind of address it that, you know, there is a mystery. We can't always count on hearing God's voice maybe the same way every time, can we?
You know, there's a mystery to it in the sense that, you know, we're talking about an invisible person speaking to us in ways that transcend, you know, the audible. But we try to demystify it in the book because really what God's people, we feel, really need to understand is that when Jesus said in John 14, 15, and 16, it is better that I go so that the Spirit can come. And if you look at that wording carefully, he interchanges it with, it's better that I go so that I may come to you. Mm-hmm. And so on the day of Pentecost, Jesus Christ came back in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, and indwelt those disciples. And ever since, every person who has called on the name of the Lord and trusted in Jesus Christ, repented and believed, has that same Spirit living in them. And the New Testament calls him the Spirit of Jesus. And so it's actually better that the Spirit lives in us, Christ lives in us, than if he was here in the flesh. Because if he was here in the flesh, you know, you have to actually go where he is. And you talk about all the millions of Christians on the planet. But now that he's in the Spirit, he is in all the believers at the same time. And here's the point I want to make. The intimacy, the closeness that we have with the Lord is more, is greater, is higher and deeper than what most of us can imagine. Paul says we are one Spirit with the Lord. That means he is in the deepest part of us. And when he speaks, he reverberates through our mind, will, and emotions. Consequently, the main way the Lord speaks today, beyond through his word, okay, he obviously continues to speak through his word. His word's inspired. But it comes through our thoughts. It comes through our emotions. It comes through our desires, you see? And so we just need our ears tuned, our spiritual ears tuned, and our spiritual senses sharpened so that we can recognize, oh, this is the Lord. And so that's what we try to do in the book. And as you say, the second part of the book is intensely practical. We talk about very, very practical things, and we give readers practices, exercises, so they can put some of this into practice.
I want to get to that, but maybe I can back up just a minute, because you talk about having our senses sharpened and our ears tuned. Are there some practical things that we can do to get tuned up?
Yes, great question. Yeah, there are many. I list many in the book. We go through them. I'll just mention a few here for your listeners. One of them is to become poor in spirit. And this is all about humility. This is all about where Jesus said becoming like a little child. And this makes it a little bit more difficult for people who are more educated in Scripture and in theology, because there is a tendency, there's a danger, let's put it this way, there is a danger to think, because I know all this theology, and because I have all this education, and because I have more degrees than a thermometer, well, then I already know what the Lord wants. And that's not the case. And so it's really a matter of being humble and saying, you know what, I may know a lot, but there's a lot I don't know. And I'm going to humble myself and become like a child and look for the Lord to give me guidance, to speak to me, to reveal himself to me in ways I've never seen. And that's a big one. And we explore that. And another one, too, is the Lord will only speak to us if we're willing to obey what he says. And we give scripture for this. But if I'm at a place in my life where I'm not going to obey the Lord, right, then he's not going to reveal his word to me. He's not going to give me that guidance because I'm not willing to obey it. And he will have to bring me through experiences to break me, to break my will. Okay, this is part of transformation, to where I'm at a point where I'm ready to hear. And so that's another thing, too, to be willing to obey, all right? Of course, a third one is the more familiar we are with Jesus in the Scripture, and we get familiar with how he spoke to his disciples while he was on earth, then the better we'll be able to recognize him. And one of the things, as I said before, is one of the characteristics of Jesus is he's always coming out things from a different angle than what we expect. That's why the disciples were always amazed. The answers he would give to people, it wasn't what they were expecting. And the Lord does that today. And what's so beautiful is we get into a problem, and we either think, okay, we have this way or that way through rational thought, and then the Lord, when we hear him, comes from a totally different direction, gives us a thought we would never have imagined, and we know that has the scent of Jesus Christ on it. So those are just some practical things.
Great practical insight, and we'll get into more. We'll talk about emotions and impressions. Are they trustworthy? You know, Joel 2 talks about visions and dreams. We'll get Frank's response to that. Can we assume that, you know, the enemy isn't going to try and counterfeit things? We'll hear more as we're learning how Jesus speaks. The title of the book, Jesus Speaks, Learning to Recognize and Respond to the Lord's Voice, written by Frank Viola and Len Sweet. Frank, my guest today. We've got some copies to give away. The phone number is 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. And you can join us with a question or a comment as well, too. We'll get back in just a couple of minutes. We're hungry to hear God's voice, but we maybe don't know how. And so in this great new resource from Leonard Sweet and Frank Viola, we're getting some clear understanding of how to listen for the voice of Jesus. It's called Jesus Speaks, Learning to Recognize and Respond to the Lord's Voice. Frank Viola is author, a teacher. He's written books on themes about the church a lot, has a lot to say about the church, from eternity to here, God's favorite place on earth. He blogs regularly at frankviola.org. There is a website, by the way, for Jesus Speaks. You want to learn more about that? JesusSpeaks.me. JesusSpeaks.me. Check that out. Find out more about the book and the writing. So, Frank, let's dive into we've got tuned, we've sharpened our senses. You mentioned that, you know, God speaks to us emotions and impressions. You know, I think we wonder, are those trustworthy?
Well, in and of themselves, they are not trustworthy, but coupled with a few guidelines that we address in the book, actually we address a number of them, but we could talk about a few here, they could definitely be the Lord speaking to us for sure, even our thoughts. It can be the Lord speaking to us. One of the things that we need to look for is the motivation of our hearts. You know, if our hearts are motivated towards selfishness, in other words, we're looking to hear God's voice for our own personal benefit, or so we can say, hey, God told me this, then, you know, we're going to have a skewed perception of what the Lord is saying to us and can very easily confuse it with our own desires. However, if our motivation is toward the Lord and His will, Jesus talked about this in Matthew where He talked about making your eye single, okay? Having a single motivation, that will help us to distinguish between our own emotion and the Lord speaking to us through the emotion. The other guideline would be the content. What is being said? What is our emotion saying to us, or what is our thought saying to us? And as we said before, Jesus will never contradict Himself. And His whole message was love, and love's benefiting others at the expense of yourself. And so if what we're being impressed with is in line with the nature of love, that's a pretty good mark that it's the Lord. So those are just a couple of things. The other one, too, is the disposition. Paul said in Romans, when the mind is set on the Spirit, it is life and peace. And when the Lord is speaking to us, it produces life, which is energy, excitement, enthusiasm, and it produces peace. We have the peace of God. And when we're walking with the Lord, that peace is a wonderful guideline. If we're not walking with the Lord, we just don't have that peace. And if it's our own desires, our own thoughts, and it's springing out of selfishness, if we look deeper, we're going to have some tension there. There's going to be a lack of peace in our heart. So those are just some of the practical guidelines. We talk about a lot more in the book, but you know, for your listeners, I think it'll give them just a little bit of a handle.
Yeah.
As we look deeper into this issue.
One of the chapters you focused on wisdom, and I was wondering, you know, is wisdom God's voice or is it just common sense? And sometimes isn't God going to direct us in ways that don't seem wise?
Yeah, there are times where it will, let's put it this way, it will be unwise according to the world standards. Mm. I think that could probably be a characteristic of the Christian life in general,
sure.
That it's foolishness to the world, as Paul said. But there is the wisdom of God, and we see this demonstrated in Jesus constantly. You know, He's being tempted, He's being tested, you know, by the Pharisees or religious leaders. And his response just takes everybody by surprise. You know, they're always trying to trap him, but he has such wisdom. And so, yes, the Lord will give us wisdom. And we know it has the fingerprints of Jesus Christ on it when we look at it and we say, well, wait a minute. I don't think I can come up with this myself. You know, and this just like the Lord, it's come out of left field. It's come out of, you know, a place where I wasn't even thinking about. And here it is. Here's the solution to the problem. And it just has that ring of truth on it. And so we really believe that God will give wisdom. And that's certainly an aspect of His speaking to His children. James says, if you're going through a trial, if you ask God, He will give you wisdom, but then He gives a clarification. He gives a qualification. But you must ask in faith. You must believe. For a double-minded person is unstable in all his ways. And essentially what he's saying is if you don't believe, if you don't have the faith, then you're not going to receive that wisdom from the Lord. And so we talk a lot about faith, too, in the book and how to build that faith up so that we can actually hear the Lord speaking to us.
Can we build up our spiritual perceptions? I mean, is it something that would be cultivated so that this would become more natural, more frequent, I guess?
The answer is yes, yes, and yes.
Okay.
Hebrews 5 actually talks about exercising your spiritual senses to discern the good from evil. And there he's giving a reference. He's hinting at the fact that we as believers have spiritual instincts. We have spiritual senses. We have a new spiritual consciousness. If you think about human life gives us a consciousness of things in the human world, right? An animal has the consciousness of animal life, and they're aware of the animal world. Well, when God comes in us by the Holy Spirit, that is the new birth, we have a new consciousness. We have a new set of spiritual senses. And in Jesus' manifesto in that book, Len and I talk about how the five spiritual senses, hearing, seeing, you know, smelling, tasting, touching, correspond with the five physical senses. You know, right now we're talking about hearing the Lord. We're not talking about hearing him audibly. He rarely speaks audibly. We're talking about a spiritual ear. We're talking about a spiritual hearing. Same thing with seeing, a spiritual seeing. And so we can develop those senses, those spiritual senses, just like we develop our physical senses through exercise. And we talk a lot about this in the book as well.
Do dry spells and dark nights mean that Jesus isn't speaking?
Well, I would put it this way. The dry spell in the Christian's life is very normal, and it is as if the Lord has left the stage of your life. And the dark night is something even more severe. I don't even want to get into it. It's a pretty thorny subject, and it doesn't happen to every person. But the dry spell, I think every Christian has gone through or will go through a dry spell, and they're perfectly normal. And it doesn't mean the Lord has left us, but it feels that way. And the purpose of the dry spell at the very bottom is to separate and to sift out our motive for following the Lord. More people fall away from the Lord during a dry spell, and it only reveals that they really weren't following Jesus Christ. They were following Santa Claus. Because when things get hard and the Lord seems not to be present, our motives come to the surface. And that's where the Lord can gain the most ground in us, and we can experience the most spiritual growth. It's through the dry spell, not the wet spell. And so we talk about all this. We navigate our readers through dry spells, explain to them what it is, what it looks like, and it will eventually end.
Know that in many parts of the world, dreams and visions are maybe more prominent than they are in North America. But say a bit about, you know, Joel, too, talked about dreams and visions.
Yeah, we have a segment, a chapter on dreams and visions, and we talk about how through Scripture, both Old and New Testament, you mentioned Joel, and of course that's repeated in Acts chapter 2 in the New Testament. But we point out that God certainly has spoken through dreams and visions through both Old and New Testament. We also believe that he still speaks that way today. However, not everybody seems to recognize the Lord through that particular medium. And what we have found in our experience is that it seems to us that the Lord will often use dreams and visions to some of his children in the very beginning of their Christian life, usually when they're a young believer. But at some point, sort of the spigot of that turns off. And I was really encouraged when I read something by Dallas Willard, who said exactly the same thing. It was the only time I heard anybody else say that. And I thought, well, this is probably true, because it's been true in my experience and it's true in his experience. Now, I do think when you're talking about, you know, sort of a Cornelius situation, where Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, you know, never heard the gospel, never heard Jesus, but he was a God-fearer. He was a Gentile who loved God, and God spoke to him powerfully through supernatural means. And then Peter came along, and he was led that way too. So I do think when we talk about other countries where, say, the gospel may have not been so prevalent, the Lord may be doing a lot of that a lot more to people. But no, it happens today, but I don't believe it happens to all of his children, and even the ones that it does happen to, it seems there seems to be a trend. A trend, at least, you know, that it's in the early Christian life, kind of like training wheels, and to graduate to a more mature way of hearing the Lord.
We've got over 40 chapters alone just from Frank's part of the book that talk about some of the ways that we hear the voice that has no words and hearing Jesus today. But Frank, maybe we only got a minute or so left, but say a bit about is there a time of day or a setting where we're more likely to hear? And what could we do today to help tune ourselves in more clearly?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the Lord is speaking to us all the time. We just have to have our signal antenna up and our station tuned in to him. But I do think that the mornings have a special significance to them. And so I always tell believers, especially if they're beginning on this journey of hearing the Lord and being more intimate with him, is to turn to him in the early mornings upon waking. And one of the reasons for this is that we are less distracted by life, upon waking up. The other thing is, all throughout Old Testament and even in New Testament, there seems to be something special about the morning time. And we show this scripturally in the book. So I would say to people, begin in the mornings. And of course, in the book, we give very practical exercises and handles on how to actually do that.
And the goal has been your passion, too, is that we might experience transformation, right? That we'll actually get to know Jesus better and follow him more closely.
Yes, God's grand purpose is to conform us into the image of his Son. He wants a collective expression of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the earth. And he wants us to be part of his great and grand mission. And I don't know how we can do that except we hear him speak to us. That's how we're transformed. That's how we're conformed. And that's how we're effective in spiritual service.
Frank Viola helping us to understand, to recognize and respond to the Lord's voice, talking about the new book called Jesus Speaks. You can find out more by going to the website jesusspeaks.me. And our thanks to Frank Viola, who has authored a number of books, and this is one of the third that he's written with Frank with Leonard Sweet. Helpful and practical and encouraging words today. Frank, good to visit with you. Thanks so much for coming back to Connecting Faith.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
You're listening to Connecting Faith. We've got some copies of the book to give away, by the way. We'll do a drawing at the top of the hour. It's 877-93-FAITH.
It's when I find that I'm free to love the way you love me, love the way you love. Love be the loudest voice.
I want love to be the loudest voice, and as we live out and respond to Jesus' voice. Been talking Jesus Speaks today, Frank Viola. I'll take another perspective on it with Adam McHugh. Adam is a minister and spiritual director, and he's written several great books. One that we talked to him not too long ago, about the listening life, embracing attentiveness in a world of distraction.
There's a lot of fear in listening to God, and that's why there are faith communities that kind of give one person this exalted position of listening, and everyone else gets to kind of be sheltered from that, almost like Moses going up to the top of the mountain and being the one to interact with God, so all the rest of us can cower in fear at the base of the mountain. But we're just continually given this perspective in Scripture of a God who communicates with people, that God speaks in manifold ways. And I think that so much of the adventure and the exhilaration and the excitement of living the Christian life is about communicating with God and not only speaking to God, but hearing from God. And so I just think it's important that we first acknowledge that God speaks, that God continues to speak. God just didn't speak once and stop, but now God continues to speak to us. But then we have to be aware of, well, how do we filter? How do we interpret what we hear, and kind of what filters do we run that through?
Say more about what some of those should be, because Brother Lawrence would say we practice the presence of God. I mean, I think one of the early mystics, God speaks in the pots and pans. I mean, it doesn't have to be, we don't have to go to a special place necessarily, or don't have to burn incense or any of those things.
Absolutely, and that's really at the heart of listening, is that it happens in all of the mundane and everyday activities of life, and that we don't have to make a pilgrimage to the top of the mountain in order to believe that God speaks, but that God is speaking to us now in our everyday lives. But I mean, there's been some filters that theologians throughout the generations have kind of put in place, and I very much agree with them. The first one has to do is something that I hear from God, is that something that's consistent with Scripture? Something consistent with not only one scripture, but with kind of the whole tenor of scripture, particularly the Christ story. Is what I'm hearing, does that sound like the God that we meet in the scriptures? Does that sound like the voice of Jesus Christ? Is that consistent with God's character that we see in the scriptures? And I think that's probably the most foundational filter. But then it's one thing to hear things from God alone. It's another thing to bring that to the accountability of community. So other people must be part of your acts of listening to God. People who are part of communities of faith, and bringing them into the conversation as like a check and balance sort of a thing, and hearing what they have to say. I believe God not only speaks to us as individuals, but God speaks through groups. And I tell a story in the book of a friend of mine named Kathy who wanted to become a missionary to Ireland, and she heard this voice from God, and of course that sounded like something that God would speak, and of course that was consistent with the scriptures, but then she brought it to her community of people, and she's a Quaker, so they have this thing called a listening community, which I think is fascinating, where basically you sit in a group of people and you tell them, hey, here's what God is saying to me, and the other people are only allowed to ask questions. They're not allowed to give advice, but they just ask questions, and then listen to what Kathy had to say. And then just through that process of just asking questions, she became convinced that God was calling her to wait on leaving for Ireland, and she ended up waiting a few years for some other things in her life to kind of happen before she did that. But the point is, she brought it to a community of people who were intent on listening to her.
In the book, you say that we can't always listen to others well if we haven't first listened to ourselves. So talk about listening to ourselves and maybe dealing with the self-talk that runs through our minds all the time.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important, and I have a chapter called Listening to Your Life in the book, and I think it's important for us to pay attention to what's happening inside of us. I think sometimes we think that the proper way to be a Christian is to try and forget about ourselves and just to focus all of our attention outside of us. And I understand why people say that, but I do think that we've been given kind of indicators of the state of our soul, that we have emotions that we need to pay attention to, that we have impulses that we need to pay attention to, and that we are attracted to certain things and repelled from other things, and we find certain things uplifting and other things discouraging, and those are just movements in our soul that we need to pay attention to. And until we're capable of doing that within our own selves, it's going to be very challenging to be able to help other people to pay attention to what's happening inside of them. And I do believe that the movements in our souls is one of the key ways that God speaks to us, that tells us who we are and tells us what our passions are and what our vocations are.
Talking about the listening life, embracing attentiveness in a world of distraction. And Adam, we skipped past it, but I want to just wrap up our conversation with maybe a word about the Creator and sort of the song of creation, that there is, as Psalm 19 says, the heavens are declaring the glory of God. There's no place where that message isn't going out. Say a word about the creation and how it speaks to us and how we could maybe be more attentive to that.
Absolutely. And probably my favorite chapter in the book is called Listening to Creation. And I started it with C.S. Lewis, and some other people have often wondered if the first chapter of Genesis is the appropriate genre for understanding that. It's song. It's very poetic. There's a lot of refrains. There's repeated measures. There's a cadence to it. And C.S. Lewis, I think actually through the character of Aslan, the lion, said, what if this is song? What if God sang the creation into existence? And what if God is still singing through the creation? And how can we avail ourselves of that song and hear that creation song? And so I have a whole chapter devoted to that. And my favorite section in there is called The Spiritual Discipline of the Long Walk. And I think the long walk is something that we can practice no matter where we are. We don't have to walk out into the middle of the wilderness in order to hear God's voice. But the idea is that I can take a walk through my neighborhood and notice the small things that are happening in the environment and in the animal kingdom around me and notice how God is speaking.
Obviously, we want to be looking in God's Word, right? Because that's where He is communicated most clearly and effectively. So how do we get the most out of God's Word? Because sometimes reading through it doesn't seem to speak to us some days.
Yeah, and there are some interpretive strategies that are at use in the church that I don't always think are the most honoring of the Scriptures. I don't think our point in reading some of the stories in the Old and New Testaments is to extract a principle out of those stories. I don't think we read, for example, the story of David and Goliath and then pull out that principle of God sides with the little guy or with the underdog, and then we just take that principle and try and apply that to our lives. I think the better way to read some of these scriptures is to try and get into the scripture, into the story as much as possible, and not to try and pull things out of it, but to imagine yourself in the narrative of the scriptures themselves. And there's a few tools for doing that. There's an ancient practice called Lectio Divina, which acknowledges that every jot and tittle of the scriptures is inspired by God, and that God didn't just speak those one time thousands of years ago, but that God is continuing to speak them now. And so I'm going to try and present all of myself emotionally, intellectually, spiritually into these scriptures, and I'm going to listen for a word or a phrase or something that really seems to leap out at me, that really seems to be something that's being spoken into my soul, and I'm going to sit with that story. I'm going to read the scripture over and over and over again, and I'm going to let that really speak clearly to me and pay attention to what makes my heart sing, what makes my heart exult. And then there's another way of reading the scriptures that's based on the spirituality of Ignatius of Loyola, who was the founder of the Jesuits in the 1500s. He says, well, let's read a story. Let's just specifically start with a story of Jesus in the Gospels. And instead of just trying to read it as a detached observer, let's imagine ourselves in the story. What if I were a fly on the wall as Jesus interacts with the rich man, or as Jesus heals the demoniac? And what if I were a fly on the wall, or what if I was even a character? Is there a character that I relate to? And can I smell the dirt? Can I feel the heat of the desert sun? And you're trying to imaginatively find yourself in the midst of that story. So I really like the idea of kind of getting into the scriptures rather than pulling principles out of the scriptures.
Been talking about listening to God's voice. Jesus is knocking at the door of our heart, longing to commune with us. Adam McHugh offering some good words from his book, The Listening Life, and our conversation on connecting faith here a while back. And we just talked to Frank Viola about the new book, Jesus Speaks. Both those conversations you'll find on our show page at the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com. Hope that you'll check that out. And Ted, if you want to find out what the Bible has to say about the financial stewardship and use of money, we're giving away a financial stewardship Bible once a week here during this month, so people can sign up for that at myfaithradio.com.
Yeah, from Howard Dayton, myfaithradio.com.
Check it out and join us tomorrow for Connecting Faith. Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support, and you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.